Good morning and welcome to Talk808.com. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me and listening in. And if you have any interest in calling in, 808-782-6627. We can have a chat and talk and do all those things. And if you have any information relative to the information that we're going to share with you today, please don't hesitate to call at 808-782-6627 or give me a email, carol@carolcox.com. That's carolcox.com. Now, you've heard me talk in the past months about the Department of Land and Natural Resources and other state agencies, and I will tell you the reason I talk about those, that, you know, we spent some $4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million to teach the world here in Honolulu how to protect wildlife and do all those things, how to run a conservation agency, you know. So you would assume if we are spreading the news and spreading the word like good fertilizer, we would be on top of our game. And I'm here to share with you today some interesting things, yet a few more interesting things about human behavior, about dishonesty, about the lack of integrity in the agencies, especially the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And you've heard, if you're new to the show, then you'll think that we are sour grapes or mad at the DLNR. But the reality is, let's understand something. We can love animals and love the environment, and we can appreciate the environment. But there are things that come into play, like people that want to do business, that won't have the environment in mind, won't be their first concern. They want to see what they can extract from the environment, from the earth, from the air, from the water, whether it's fish, minerals, water, or what have you. Or the use of lands, or the desecration, or the ignoring historical sites and monuments and things of that nature. So this Department of Land and Natural Resources, when we talk, we speak of them, we're speaking as if there's a clean slate, and we want to make sure that they hold that image and they behave in a way that we are afforded a practice of protection. Now, somewhere, someone, and this is habitual amongst politicians and across the country, where though natural resources are very critical to our whole total existence as human beings and as a healthy earth, we tend to find ourselves appointing people that have conflicts of interest, and have a desire to mine, to hunt, to farm, to graze state lands, federal lands, lands that are set aside to protect these resources. So if you haven't gotten it yet, why we place so much emphasis on this, that's just to give you a share with you just a little bit of insight. This is not just a bitchy moany session of someone's unhappy with things. This is the heartbeat of society, of humanity, the resource management people. See, you could have businesses and they fail and people will go through a depression and they'll sell apples on the street corner and put barrels with diesel oil and stay warm and with some funny looking gloves, and they'll go around and have speakeasies and all of those things. But once we lose clean water, clean air, clean land, we've lost substantially. So this is the thing. And for some reason, big businesses, little businesses, small-minded people, people that are intelligent, intellects, will gravitate to the Department of Land and Natural Resources or its equivalent in other states. And they want to take over because it's a people's project. It's people's property, usually people's resources, and you can get it for dirt cheap. And if you find your way inside the agencies, then you can stack your people, bring them in, leave the back door open, so to speak, when the people are off on vacation, so to speak, or the close of business that day at 5 o'clock, 5:15, the nonprofits come sneaking in the back. And the danger is we get nonprofits being appointed as chiefs of these agencies, and they have special interests, special agendas, and agendas that deviate from or compete with the people's interests in total. So having said all of that, we talked about the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources here in Hawaii. And we've mentioned Suzanne Case. I can tell you that other than that, she is about as mysterious and as cliquish and as sneaky as anything you've ever seen. She works behind the curtain. She is not the Wizard of Oz. She's just Oz. And what happens, folks, is that this is dirt. Everything about it. We have, as I've explained to you, the Aquatics Division. She has Bruce Anderson there, who we've been informed by people, his clerical staff, that he was taking only 3 days to work on this island and then would go to the big island and stay and come back late and what have you. And it's tolerated, and something to do with his high threes. That's not our business. We have a position open as director of Aquatics Division, a five-day week, a five-workday week, and we need that oversight, that overhead. We need that position to be filled with a viable entity, a person who is there to guide and steer and introduce new thoughts and garner kinship with other divisions or agencies and be there. Not to be there just for the political necessity of getting done what Case wants to get done. So, you know, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, I'll just try and break down when we talk about it. It's broken down into divisions, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Then it has the Aquatics Division. Then it has the Law Enforcement Division. Then it has the Historical Preservation Division, Forest and Wildlife Division, Sea Worm, or Water and Recreation Management, and then there's the Engineer Staffing. Then you have the Boating and Parks and Recreation, State Parks, and a few others, but harbors, but they don't manage the harbors per se. They manage the piers and the launch ramps and things of that nature in some instances. So let's talk about the bit of honesty. We had a new development here, and we told you about, and we've told you about on many occasions, Mr. Robert Farrell. Now, Mr. Robert Farrell came from California, he indicates or shares with us, was a former game warden there, serves 20-some years as a game warden, and he found his way to Hawaii via Big Island as a game warden, and then was allowed to take 6 months leave of absence after he was employed here on the Big Island, and sort of suggesting, you know, if you get that kind of leverage or leniency on him, you would think that you would see this equally being allowed or permitted elsewhere within the ranks. So he took 6 months off and went off to California, wherever you go. I don't really know. But there's a number of other trips involved. And so there's been concerns of traveling just to suit himself and that to satisfy his personal needs on that side of the island, on the Big Island, or the mainland. We don't know all the details. We did write and ask, and they suppressed and withheld some of the documents related to that request. But there are some interesting concerns here. So Mr. Farrell is the chief of DLNR DOCARE, Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. And recently, when I say recent, I mean just within days. Now, there was a October 3rd or whenever he supposedly wrote an email to the world and his staff. I say the world because the list of people that he listed, it was, I didn't know we had that many state workers or people with state email addresses, to be frank with you. But Mr. Farrell, now, this is a chief of law enforcement. He has a right to go into your background. He can go into the EIM, the NCIC, and check your records and check this and check that. He has access to all of that. These, just know that DLNR, DOCARE officers, are fully fledged and authorized law enforcement people. So don't be kidding yourself that they're going to be huggy kissy with turtles only. It's a lot more serious than that. And I think that's where we lose it, because we give them the authority to do all of these things, but then we turn around and treat them as if they're just a park ranger that meet you at the gate and greet you and tell you how big the bears are, where the bears are, don't feed the bears or something. But these are fully fledged law enforcement people that can arrest you, that can take you to jail, can arrest you, make you do sobriety checks, tests, and all of that. So don't be fooled. So having said that, you should have a higher standard, much higher standard, especially when you get to the top. Now, Mr. Farrell, I'm going to let you decide if it was a lie or not, or a fib, or maybe it's attributed to things are so stressful that he just had to say it but couldn't say it. But Mr. Farrell, on the 3rd of October, reportedly, he states, aloha, and this is to the full staff. And I understand some people didn't get it or will get it or what have you, but to the staff of DLNR and the government, state government offices. Aloha, I wanted to update all of you once again on the status of DOCARE and also my status. Now keep that in mind, my status. Over the past 22 months since I took the chief's job, a lot has changed. Some of you feel that the changes happened too fast, while others may think we did not move quickly enough. It has been challenging, but the efforts by many of you have helped with all of these things. And he goes on and lists these things. And one was rifle shotgun training for all branches. And for all branches. So that gives me a little time to think here and say, well, rifle and shotguns, if you're law enforcement, are you saying that they didn't have it and you got it all done? And procurement of shotgun rifle racks for vehicles. And we'll talk about them shortly, the more specifics. Procurement of properly equipped vehicles. California Post Supervisor Training. New Glocks. Glocks is a pistol, a service semi-automatic weapon. New laptop computers with remote access. Tip 411. That's where you can call in and give do something on the computer and report a violation of conservation violation, and then wait a year to get a response. So, you know, it's real good, but if you still call on the weekday after hours, you get a recording. So tip 11, I got a tip for you. Cody RMS to replace EMIS early 2019. This is going to come in 2019. Background checks for all new officers. Now, What does that suggest? That agency had officers who were fully sworn and taking an oath and enforcing the law, had not had a background check? Give us something to think about there. Hybrid vehicles for admin. Hired accountant. We didn't have an accountant all these years, three, 4 years that Suzanne Case has been working. Who's managing the money? Hire two legal fellows. Well, that's an interesting one there. Keep that in mind, because I have some questions about the hire two legal fellows. And that, are they the fellows that were hired through and recruited through the Richardson School of Law or the Academy or this project that is sponsored and semi-funded by Castle Foundation, Conservation International, and Suzanne Case's direction? Obtain a grant for academy development. Legislative support for academy. Dispatch in process, in progress. Dispatch. So a lot of these things he's claiming he accomplished, and yet they're still being done. And you'll understand later on how important that is when it triggers some kind of curiosity, you know, your curious side. Branch chief for Maui hired. So, doesn't say the quality of the branch chief or the aptitude of the branch chief. It just says hired. Branch chief for Kauai hired. Branch chief for Oahu in progress. Liquid robotics project for marine enforcement and BRFA. Development of Big Island shooting range. Kalalau ops. Kaizen hiring process. E-bench warrant access. Now, officers hadn't been, background hadn't been, apparently it says here, background checks for all officers, new officers. So, you see, these officers were hired but didn't have a, he's suggesting that many of them didn't have a background check done, but that they were able to do e-bench warrant access and more. Then he says more overtime than ever before. Now, that sounds like a guy who will squander your pennies, your money, my money, and then put his away for safekeeping. When you spend overtime, you got one officer working overtime. What kind of overtime are you doing? Are you going to the fireworks shows and providing security? And that those tend to be late at night sometimes, or filming movies, and so you stand out in the hot sun, and then you go to your second job, which is being a game warden, but you get time and a half for overtime. So you're going to see a lot of guys gravitating to that, like fish on bread. When you throw it in the water, you see this flurry. And so by the time they get to do their second job, and I say a second job because if you're dealing out money hand over fist in overtime, and all you got to do is stand there, you don't have to write any tickets, you don't have to pull anybody over, you don't have to have much public contact other than giving. And I'm not faulting the officers for that. But this is a situation where the chief find it necessary or think it's important to boast that he's done such stupid things that, in fact, we can't even get proper response to environmental violations. But more overtime than ever before. New uniforms, they'll be coming in 2019. And so you can put, what's that, lipstick on a pig? And you still have a pig? Or you can put a gown on a tree and you just still have a tree. It may look good, but it's all fashion. It all looks good. It's just I don't know what in their minds they're doing it for, but it's just superficial and window dressing. New 27 safe boat for Maui. Now, here, if you are enforcing the law and conservation is your effort and you, that's your purpose, mandated by the legislative process of the legislators or by the state statutes. If that's the case, why the hell are you boasting that you got a boat? You're supposed to get a boat. You're on an island. That's nothing to be, in my opinion, to be boasting that you got it done. Hell, if you didn't get it done, we should fire you because we need a boat to go out and patrol and check for the divers, the snorkelers, the fishermen, the canoe paddlers, stand-up boarders, kite sailors, and all of that, you know, to be able to reach to them and get out there and go to check on coral damage, recover, or have a platform to conduct an investigation on the waters. You know, when people tell you stupid stuff, look what I've done. You know, what did you do? Oh, I was standing in tar, but I decided to step out of it. Well, you're supposed to do that. That's stupid. It's your responsibility to get a boat. That's not an accomplishment. You know, what kind of accomplishment is it when these are your duties and responsibilities, and yet you decide, well, can't get a boat. The budget won't, you're not smart enough to get the, just take the money out of your budget because it's already been set aside. Tactical ops training. Now, that was, it doesn't say who gave it to him, but some portions of the tactical op was with his friends, administered by his friends, a former friends in Cal Fishing Game that flew over here on the public's dollar or private donors' dollars to train a chosen few. Didn't accomplish by training the total population of game wardens. Lateral Academy. Basic Academy. These are the things Robert Farrell say he accomplished. Doe care attendance at Wildlife Investigators Covert Academy. Who did he pick? One of his special favorite boys and took him. He didn't train the entire staff. Doe care attendance at the National Association of Conservation Law Enforcement Chiefs National Academy. Outside employment policy. Yeah, that's right. He accomplished that policy, and yet his right-hand man in water ops was running a business on the federal property on state waters with another private business. And yet when he was told about it, he went and covered it up to cover the guy's ass. Patrick Chung Tim or whatever it is. And others that were participating in that project or working part-time for that and training people on private people on jet skis while using state jet skis and using state uniforms and state equipment to transport and to go on base. And yet he developed an outside policy. Well, it damn well wasn't enforced, but maybe it was enforced, but only for his friends. He looked the other way. And there is others. I mean, I think, as I said, there's Vance LeMay, one of the gentlemen who works for DLNR, game warden. He works as a captain. He obtained his license at the expense of the state. I'm told this is the report that we get back. And then he goes and drives a dive boat or a snuba boat for a private company. The same company now. There is potential that it could violate one day. And so here's Mr. LeMay or Officer LeMay or whatever capacity he is committing a violation or witnessing a violation or responding to a complaint involving that company. And so this outside employment policy, people can write nice things and make them look pretty, but if it still smells, it stinks. Standards of conduct policy. Oh, my God. That's a three-week show. I mean, underscore that, folks. Standards of conduct policy. And then grooming policy. This is what he indicate. He, Robert Farrell, said he did. So in his letter now, that was a long list of his accomplishments in 22 months. And this is certainly not, he goes on to say, quoting him, in his, this is certainly not a complete list of all things we have done at DoeCare. It is a sampling of many of the improvements that have occurred. I believe that we could not have done all of this without all of your efforts. So thank you, and know that you have improved the future of DoeCare. Now, man, I read that part. I just thought, sheesh, let me go get me a cup of hot chocolate, get me a blanket, and get my dog and cat and sit there and just feel, hey, all's good now, man. Real good. Robert Farrell says real good, you know, because he's an honest man. There are challenges ahead, he says. I hope that those of you who are contributing remain vigilant and keep up the good work. I hope that some of you will step up and ensure DoeCare's future. Oh, how heartwarming. Beginning Monday, Jason Redula will take over the responsibility of DoeCare chief. I will remain engaged as necessary to make sure the DoeCare Academy and other important projects stay on track. I will remain in that role until a new permanent DoeCare chief is selected. Am I missing something in this sentence? Or this paragraph? Or scattergraph? Or scaredograph? Did I hear him say he was resigning? Did I say that he or see in his writings that he had quit? Did I see in here that he got fired? That no. It says, beginning Monday, Jason Redula will take over the responsibility of DoeCare chief. I will remain engaged as necessary to make sure the DoeCare Academy and other important projects stay on track. I will remain in that role until a new permanent DoeCare chief is selected. So we go on with this letter. You may ask why I have chosen to leave. I didn't know you were leaving. It was a roundabout, circuitous way of saying that Jason Redula was taking over. You didn't say you were leaving. You say you would be. But you may ask why I have chosen to leave. The answer is simple. Life is too short. Or let me back up. I'm quoting him. The answer is simple. Life is short. I took the Hilo DoeCare officer position because I love the job. Being a conservation officer is one of the best jobs you can have. And that I agree with him, folks. I was a California Fish and Game officer, too. But according to Farrell, I wasn't, and I was crappy at it. I wasn't, he said, and then I was, but I was crappy. So I took the Hilo DoeCare officer position because I love the job. Being a conservation officer is one of the best jobs you can have. It is a noble profession, and you should hold your heads high. I took the chief job because I felt obligated to the profession I have dedicated my professional life to. But now it's time to live my personal life. Now it's time to live my personal life. I put that on hold for DoeCare. So, mahalo to you all, and Imua. It has been an honor to work for DoeCare. I will always remember my time as a front line enforcement officer doing a job that I love. I will also remember my time as chief and the foundation that many of you helped achieve for DoeCare's future. Now, folks, I read this letter, and it said to me immediately, there's something sneaky about this. He didn't say up front that he had resigned, retired, or anything of that nature. He just introduced the changes that Radula will be taking over until they find someone else or do whatever to replace Farrell. And this is what he indicated, that he was quitting. He was done. He was out of here, gone, scrambling. And gave a complete list of his accomplishments. And I will remain in that role until a new permanent DoeCare chief is selected. So sounds like he vacated the position. Sounds like he quit. Sounds like he retired or did something, right? And he says he's moving on because life is short, and that I will always also remember my time as chief. My time as chief. I will remember my time as chief, suggesting that he's vamoose, scrambling, getting out of here, gone, bye-bye. That's what this letter suggests to me. E malama pona. Okay, so that's his letter. So I'm in a watchdog role, having concerns and having being familiar with the many occasions of abuse of authority and crookedness and what have you and foul play within these ranks. I decided to read that letter again, and so what I detected was somebody was lying and obfuscating. This whole situation, embellishing some things and withholding some things, but offering a list of accomplishments and then stating, I'm leaving, but I've left, but I'm relinquishing my seat to someone else, but I'm leaving, but I'll be here. That's nice of you, but we're running an agency. We're running a law enforcement agency. If you quit, then there are some ramifications or implications that, well, do you still have the authority to be hanging around having access to personnel files, having access to background checks, conducting background checks, unlimited? So this caused a great dust up for me in my mind. Whoa, the public is being bamboozled here. There's some, either Farrell or Case or all of them are lying once again. There's something more to this. So imagine you being an officer and you call up Carol Cox and, you know, my phone rang off the hook. I'd say from various islands and from here, a great number of them called me and sent and said, did you see this letter? What do you mean, did I say? Did you know that Farrell was leaving or he's gone? He's no longer working. No, I haven't seen anything. Well, yeah, he sent out a letter. Basically, he quit. He's gone. He's out of here. And with me thinking, nah, I don't. There's too much at stake here. They have padded their wallets. They have made roadways into Richard School of Law with the Conservation International, Suzanne Case at the helm, Castle Foundation, and they're moving along to put biologists that are privately hired and nonprofits and all. No, this is no. There's a big lie being told here. Somebody is pulling the wool over the eyes of the people of Hawaii. And that somebody is Suzanne Case and the rest of them and Mr. Robert Farrell. And so, now I don't know if the governor knows about this, but damn well, if he knows about it, shame on him, and I hope he get voted out and become the next bus driver or whatever. But because this is sinister. We deserve better. And so I decided, well, let me just, I don't like the tone of this letter. I don't like the structure of it. I don't like how it was presented. I suspect there's something going on. So I took it upon myself to think, well, I saw the letter. I would be discussing this on the show today, talking about it. Once again, DLNR, and probably some probably think that I have a fix on DLNR or an addiction to just talk. But no, there's something much greater than me or you at stake here. So I wrote a letter to Miss Case. And Miss Case, I got to tell you, always, like I say, I feel like the black guy who lives in Mississippi still, who always, when white people interact with us, they always got to put us in a place. Remember, boy, it's that mindset they give you. Remember, boy, you're black and you're in Mississippi and you know the rules here. So every time I write to the state office, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, I get that same reception. Well, this time, well, you shouldn't be writing to the chairperson. You should be writing to DLNR, OIP, or what have you. And by the way, you shouldn't ask, you should fill out a form. But other media, they just write a letter, and sometimes they just call, and they get, and I have solid proof. They just write letters or questions and ask questions, and they'll send them a document. But for me, no, you have to fill it out. And so you understand something, and I've submitted this to the health department too. The law states a request is formal when a person makes that request, either in verbally, written, or telephonically. It doesn't matter. As long as a person asks for it, that's a formal request. These papers now that they have out there, you have a right to go in and look at the documents within normal working hours on any given day. But no, you have to wait. Well, you know, you have to fill out this form. So anyway, I'm reminded of that. So I send this letter in, and they decide, well, we'll answer your questions, but we're not going to give you any documents that support what you're asking or related to what you're asking. So what I was asking is that, well, if this guy Farrell has written this letter and somebody's been talking, the letter didn't come before the action, I hope, or he caught Suzanne Case off guard, and I doubt that, because they're like a hand in glove. They've conspired as government employees to go in and steal from the people and try to mask it and hide it and then turn it into their own private agenda. This is the game. So what happens is that I write this letter, and here are the basic questions I want to ask. And I'm suspicious by nature, especially when I deal with people that lie to you more than once. So I wrote, what were the reasons for Mr. Farrell's departure? Now, this is to Suzanne Case that I wrote to, and they wrote me back from the DLNR CO public DLNR dot whatever, Hawaii.gov. So this is their response. What were the reasons for Mr. Farrell's departure? He has not resigned. Well, if he hadn't resigned, how did he depart then? Because he indicated that he was going to get on, life was short and he got to go on. And that he was going to be available helping steer this until they find someone to replace him. But he hadn't resigned. Okay. But you see how evasive and nonspecific and the lack of transparency? You would think, rather than just telling me he has not resigned, just tell me what it is that he has done and what is transpiring, what is taking place. What is the official date of Mr. Farrell's departure? He has not resigned. Now, if Mr. The status, I want to update you. He says that Redula will take over responsibility of the DoCare chief beginning Monday, beginning Monday. And if he wrote it on a Thursday, so this coming Monday, he's saying in his letter, he's already said in his letter, it would be Monday. What is the official date of Mr. Farrell's departure? They wouldn't answer me. They said he had not resigned. But yet in his letter to the troops, he says that by come Monday, he was out of here. It was going to be a new regime led by Redullah. So I ask again, what formal arrangements have been made between the DLNR and Mr. Farrell to allow Mr. Farrell to, quote, remain engaged as necessary to make sure the Dokier Academy and other important projects stay on track? This continued, right? That was my question. His continued employment allows for his participation in the Dokier matters. Now, I may have confused you. Remember, they said that he had not resigned. He had not resigned, but he says that come Monday, he was out of here and that he was going to go on with his life and that Redullah was taken over. But when I asked the question of Suzanne Case, what formal arrangements have been made between the DLNR and Mr. Farrell to allow Mr. Farrell to, quote, remain engaged as necessary to make sure the Dokier Academy and other important projects stay on track, end quote. They answered me, his continued employment allows for his participation in all Dokier matters. What's going on here, folks? I'm suspicious of something. There's something going on. So I ask another question. What specific projects will Mr. Farrell be working on, and how will he be compensated for his services? They answer, his continued employment allows for his participation in all Dokier matters. So if you're the chief and you resign and you relinquish your authority over to your deputy, and then you say you're going to move on with your life and go on down the road, scoot on down the road, how is it that you can gravitate back across the center line and go back to your job, which you quit? Why would you quit when you already have the job? And then why would you come back to it if you're going to, why quit? You're already there. That's when you know sleaze factor has increased to the umpteenth degree. Something's wrong. When I read that letter, his original letter, something said, go get them, hound dog. They are going to screw the public again. They're out to screw the public again. That's all I could hear a song going in my head, like, we're off to see the wizard. They're out to screw the public. They're out to screw the public. It just kept going on and on. Something's going on with this. Now, we're not talking about chump change. Maybe $100,000 plus salary. Don't mention the sick leave. Don't mention the vacation leave. Don't mention the amount he pays into pension or the insurance and holiday pay and all of that, and a truck and a uniform allowance and what have you. And you're just going to walk away and give it away and then hand it off to your deputy and then turn around and go back and do it for free? Well, they said that he continued to be employed, but he's indicated that he was leaving. If you figure this out, please help me, because I'm from Mississippi, and we have a tendency sometimes of not getting it right away. It takes us like 6 months, you know, to realize that, you know, oh, I see, the sun rises. Okay. But so his continued employment. Now, I ask also, will Mr. Farrell continue to have access to government records, email equipment, equipment personnel records, or other official documents related to DLNR and Dokier in his new capacity identified in his letter? They said yes. So, a guy that, I don't know if he resigned, But he, in his letter to the officers and staff, he said he was out of here. He quit. That was my interpretation or reading of it. And then so was many of the officers who received this letter. And will state funds be used to support Mr. Farrell's continued participation in any of DLNR's official business? They answered, yes, because of his continued status as an employee. So did Mr. Farrell abandon a $100,000+, whatever his salary is for chief administrator of the DOCIR? Did he actually abandon that and for lesser pay? Or did Suzanne Kay say, well, keep the money, honey, and we're going to put Jason in, and what we're going to do with Jason, because it's public money, you see, and we don't give a damn about the public. So what we'll do, we'll pay Jason your salary, the equivalent, because there's some rules or something, and I don't know all of them in details, but I suspect that there's some union rules that says that you can assign someone in a temporary capacity, but they must be compensated somehow, some form, some fashion. So if you allow Jason Radula to be assigned and he gets payment or compensated for working at a higher level, and then Farrell has quit or didn't resign or step aside or whatever the hell people do when they lie, I don't know, and then in turn he gets a salary, and then you gotta have a deputy to Radula. And so if you got a deputy to Radula, then Radula gets paid for a temporary assignment, or they call it T8, and then his position becomes vacant. So they'll bump up someone else who will be compensated at the level for Radula's position or whatever. But you can't put someone in a higher level position and don't compensate them out of their scope of work. It's my understanding. So that party then leaves, so that replaces Radula. There's a cost there. Radula replaces Farrell, a cost increase to the taxpayer to compensate Radula. The person that replaces Radula is compensated. The person that replaces Radula is compensated. So the question is, why are we throwing so much honey to these people that are acting like thieves? Why? Is it the lateral academy? Is it the full academy? And mind you, the academy still has not received post-certification, whatever it is. I don't know what they plan on doing. But you just got a bunch of guys who was handpicked by Robert Farrell. And it's alleged now that because of his relationship with Suzanne Case and his willingness to be her man to get what she want and to accomplish what the nonprofits want to do by overtaking and overthrowing the people in the civil servant process and the whole status of the civil servants there at DLNR. Did Mr. Farrell purposely elevate the new hiring requirements to CREO 3s? So that knowing that the people that are waiting, that are on a list, that could be hired yesterday, but they were up for CR2, so in order to leave it vacant so that he would have people in place that he could then funnel into the academy to justify the academy, did he rip off the state people? You see, when other people are taking your money, and they're not our money managers, folks. They're our matter managers. They are taking matters that pertain to us, that relates to us, our well-being, our clean air, clean water. They're supposed to be managing that. They have an accountant who manages the money. They're supposed to apply the money as it has been earmarked or allocated for or justified for you, or by grant or by annual funding or monthly, whatever the funding process is. But imagine, we have had a shortage of conservation officers. And let me tell you now, if you go back and play some of the press releases and all of that and learn and listen what Mr. Farrell is talking about. We need this academy because we need to hire more people. But they had a list, folks, of people, of candidates, qualified candidates that would have had been vetted, would have qualified for a CR2, CREO, Conservation Resource Officer 2. But Farrell wouldn't hire them. But he then advertises Conservation Officers 3 so that his friends from California could qualify and move here and move all the brown-skinned folks out. And that's what it is. We'll get to that and talk about the racist side of this aspect of it. He says that you know when you're dealing with people that are kind of tilted to the bigoted side, and that is when you say things like, that jumps out at it has been an honor to work for DoCare, and I will always remember my time as a frontline enforcement officer doing a job that I love. I will also remember my time as chief in the foundation that many of you help achieve for DoCare's future. This is the same man that came on board and told them 50% of them he wouldn't hire them, he'd fire them in a sense right away. And the other 50%, they better prove themselves because he was white and mighty and righty. People, local people don't have to prove themselves to you. You're the guy who's coming in with the gamesmanship. You're the guy who's coming in and lying, writing them an email, a letter, talking about what they should be doing. How evil they are. How dishonest they are. And yet you tell the biggest lie by advancing a letter, submitting a letter, and spreading it amongst the ranks, telling them you're leaving, you're gone, life's too short, you got to go. You're out of here. Why didn't you tell them up front, I have decided to step down and move and transition into another position to oversee the academy? What, you don't have enough respect for these people? Are they too brown for you to get that through their head, their thick skin or their thick skull? Is there something different? You can't communicate with them like you communicate with Suzanne Case or Denise Antolini, all the other people that you're intimate with, but the people that work for you under your structure that is guided and nurtured by you, supposedly. You lie to them. You write a letter and you pass it out and you send it to the world and you say to them, I'm out of here because life's too short. Really? No, your integrity is too short. When you lie to an entire regime or regimen of people that you're being guided by you, you should be nowhere around the program, period. Who's to trust you any longer? You could have told them what was specifically occurring. You can't trust them with telling them that I'm going to go over and run the academy and or maybe. Now, see, I don't know if this is to be true, but maybe I just got scared and frustrated and tired and saw the light at the end of the tunnel, but it was the devil's light because within a 2 weeks period, Robert Farrell found himself on the witness stand in arbitration hearings for unlawful labor practices or something to that effect. And in that, Robert Farrell talks about, in one of his testimonies, admitted that the DLNR would rely on and had relied on Black Files. Now, this is the same guy that came in and told these brown-skinned guys who look different. They ain't white and blonde and blue eyes, and they're different, and they don't understand the language. See, they talk different. They're, you know, no more the kind and what have you. So you don't have the patience because of your arrogance and your bigotry. You decide to dismiss them all and then lump them into a bunch of illegal zealots and who's eager to go out there and work overtime but not make any wildlife cases or protect the resources. Yet you won't put a radio operator at nighttime. If you wanted to brag about an accomplishment, get them full, dependable, reliable communication so that they could and authorizes them to work. And that differential, authorize that to work at nighttime, not just one or two on special duties. Don't create a Marine unit and give it to your person who is found compromised working for a private company and all of that. Don't do that. I might sound a little rough at the edges in what I'm saying and being rude, but enough's enough. When you carry a gun and a badge, and you have been elevated to being the chief, and you can't tell them the truth, and you look at them, and your first assessment is that all of you should be in jail. Brown-skinned people are guilty before they even speak. Brown-skinned people are guilty before anybody even bothered to get to know them. I'm not fighting a battle for the officers. Many of them don't acknowledge that there's ever been racist actions taken against them. But my history, my perspective, if it looks like a duck, walk like a duck, quack like a duck, then it must be a feral. It must be a Suzanne Case. You cannot, as a chairperson of the state of Hawaii's Department of Land and Natural Resources, go into the aquatics division and hire white people to run it and tell the brown people, no, I'm not giving you the amount of money that you think you deserve for that, so you can take it or leave it because my options are to hire my friends who just so happen to be white. And the other people that are coming in and behind the scenes. Look at the laundry list of people that are brought in. Again, don't take this as me being a champion for the cause of the local guys or the local girls who are brown skinned and look different or minority sex. I'm taking on this subject of Robert Farrell, Suzanne Case, are elevated to levels that they can destroy your life and lie to the people and steal from the people to advance their own cause while telling us, all of us, that we're dishonest. While they're behaving in the most dishonest fashion that you can imagine. So we'll be back shortly, and we're going to read her letter, her press release after I wrote my letter asking questions. So this is running ahead of the parade, you see, and yelling, they got trombones, they got trumpets, they got drums, they got a girl throwing a baton and what have you. This is the way they do the press releases. When you know they know you're going to come out with something, they try to preempt you. So, but this preemption was always welcome because they say dumb things in those things. And in this process, they're arrogant. And they give more insight. So hold your thoughts. This is Carol Cox on talk808.com. We'll be back shortly. Carol at carolcox.com or 782-6627-808 is the number. Aloha. Be right back. Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Good to have you. Thanks for listening in. 808-782-6627 is the number if you'd like to call in and chat with me and have any comments. Appreciate you doing so if you'd like to. We're discussing the Department of Land and Natural Resources and some of the recent events that have taken place and some actions taken place by Suzanne Case, Robert Farrell, and whoever's operating behind the closet or behind the curtain. We don't know. But it seems that Robert Farrell sent out on October 3rd, that's the roughly approximate date, sent out a letter suggesting that he had quit, had been removed, he had removed himself from the line of duty as a chief of Department of Land and Natural Resources. And for those of you that are just joining me, I see a couple of you here. It says that this certainly is not a complete list of the things he did, but he indicated that beginning this coming Monday, Jason Redullo will take over the responsibility of DoCare chief. I will remain engaged and necessary to make sure the DoCare Academy and other important projects stay on track. Yeah, so I will remain in that role until a new permanent DoCare chief is selected. Folks, there is nothing unique or proprietary or anything about Mr. Farrell's behavior or knowledge or expertise that warrants him being chief and stepping down and keeping a salary and not going through the procurement process. So we started off before I signed off on the early hour. I suspect that someone manipulated the papers and the books. So if you leave the state agency or employment, but you don't leave and you just abandon your posts, and with the aided by your chief or your chairperson who tells you what happened to that money. So in response to my query, I suspect, as usual, Dan Dennison and the others up there at the Ivory Tower or the Eiffel Tower, when I say Eiffel, you'll get an Eiffel. That's what I mean. Not for the one that's in Paris. You'll get an Eiffel of pilikia, trash. So take napkins when you go and deal with the DLNR. You will, or eyewash or something, because you'll get an Eiffel. You'll leave empty-handed, but you'll get an Eiffel. They don't serve you. They don't serve the public. So in response to my query, now if Robert Farrell supposedly wrote this email on the 3rd of October or maybe earlier, but clearly he had been talking about it before then. And I will post the emails up in the press release that was provided to me by Suzanne Case's office of DLNR, so you could understand what's going on. But on October 5th, 2018, Suzanne Case, chairperson, wrote, it's on the letterhead. See, when I write them, it's, well, you know, don't write to the chairperson. You shouldn't be sending her any questions. Okay, we shouldn't have any royalty either. So she is a chairperson. But then when they write back, Dan Dennison writes the letter back. He doesn't sign it, but he put his name on it. For immediate release, October 5th, State Conservation Chief elects to move into project support role. What is that telling us? He wrote a lengthy letter. Why didn't he say that in his letter? No, they got caught off guard, folks. They were exposed like cockroaches in the back room of an alley. They got caught. The lights went on. They thought they had a captive audience. They beaten and browbeaten and treated and imprisoned and fired and cut up and persecuting some of the officers and using them as examples. You know, some people manage by slash and burn. Others manage by the Robert Farrell and the Suzanne Case method is a Montana coyote scarecrow. That's when you're driving down the road and you see the rancher shot a coyote or two and hanging them on the fence there. And that's a message to the rest of the coyote. My sheep are off limits. Don't go porking around. So State Conservation Chief elects to move into project support role. Now, this is coming days after Robert Farrell has written a letter, juiced up, to say, didn't mention that he was going to take another role. He just said that he'd be sitting back as an advisor. He said basically he was stepping down. Didn't say he was going to step down and step aside and step across his tracks and make some more money by running the academy. Didn't say that. Robert Farrell, this is the press release they wrote after, I call it a panic relief. Robert Farrell, who has served as chief of DLNR Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement, DOCARE, since January 2017, announced his decision to move into a support role, a project support role with reduced hours, effective today. So that was Friday. But he said in his letter it will become effective Monday, tomorrow. So they can't get their lives straight or something or whatever it is. Prior to assuming the DOCARE leadership role, Farrell served as a conservation and resource officer on Hawaii Island beginning in July 2015. Chief Farrell came to DLNR after 23 years of field and leadership service with the California Department of Game and Fish. During his tenure, Farrell instituted numerous programs and initiatives to further professionalize DOCARE as a natural resources law enforcement agency. Some of these included standardized firearms trainings for all branches, introduction of the DLNR TIP app, funding and development for the first law enforcement academy for conservation officers and the standards of conduct policy. DLNR Chief or Chair Suzanne Case commented, quote, "We have been very fortunate to have had Chief Farrell's leadership at the helm of DOCARE. Chief Farrell has moved DOCARE forward in very positive ways to support our officers' ability to be highly responsive to natural and cultural resources violation, and to provide them with all the necessary training tools and equipment to do their jobs as effectively as possible. He truly appreciate all that he has done. Or we truly appreciate all that he has done and will still do for DOCARE, and intend to continue the initiative he introduced under a new yet to be named chief. Farrell will remain with DOCARE until a permanent replacement is hired to help make sure the upcoming DOCARE Law Enforcement Academy and other critical projects stay on track. Beginning next Monday, long-time DOCARE Assistant Chief Jason Redula assumes the chief's role on an interim basis." Media contact Dan Dennison. So, did he resign? They say no. Did he step down? We don't know. Did he step aside? We don't know. Will he have continued control or involvement in dictating the daily behavior, work habits of the rank and file? Suggest that he does, but what is his real role? Is Suzanne Case so reckless with our resources that we take, for example, the aquatics division? She had Fraser McGelvery. She denied the gentleman, the one that was there, a good candidate who had been there for many, many years, more than 25 years had been there. Alton Miyasaka was there. And he was quite skilled and had knowledge of the aquatic resources and the management of the office and had acting as a resource manager for that office or deputy or assistant director or whatever, a director, I think he was acting. And instead of hiring him, she said, well, she wouldn't give him the money that he felt that he was entitled to. This is what was conveyed to me. And then in turn, she didn't hire him. She went and hired someone else, and that someone else, I guess it was Fraser McGillivray, or he was working, and this is Fraser McGillivray left the agency, and he was featured in a news story that we put together where he was excessive in his expenditures as a the card, payment card, whatever you call it, P cards, and his travel was a bit extravagant, to say the least, and many other things, so he quit. But now we have Bruce Anderson, who has a favorable, she lets him do things that should not be done, and the governor is in implicit in this as also, because the governor appoints him as the acting director of the health department with the promises of giving him a job back at Aquatics on November 3rd. So, what do we do with this? We got officers working for DoCare that are struggling with, should they, when they feel something in their back, is it a knife, is it a gun, and who's a suspect? More than likely, the way they feel now, it's the very people they work for are gunning for them, stabbing them in the back, approaching them. And Robert Farrell wrote in February 12th of 2018, Aloha, everyone. It's time for another email from the chief. I've been at the job for over 1 year. I have been an employee of the DoCare since 2015. That's about 2.5 years. That's not nearly as long as some of you, but plenty of time to understand the agency. I've been in this position or profession since 1993, so plenty of time to know how this is supposed to work. I know that some of you think that things have not changed to your satisfaction. I'm not going to list the things that I have done to improve DoCare. I do want to let you know that I still believe that DoCare can improve. And that's okay. That's a healthy statement. I only took this job because I have a personal philosophy that if you are unhappy with the way things are being done, you have a few choices. One, complain and be disgruntled. Compromise your morals and be part of the problem. Put yourself in a position to fix the problem or leave. While I worked as a frontline DoCare officer, I saw things I did not agree with. I complained a little, but I always offered a solution. I had no desire to put myself in a position to fix things. When I heard that Tommy Friel was leaving, I knew I had to step up and try to fix DoCare. It was my responsibility and my obligation. I have worked in the protection of natural resources my entire professional career. I have direct experience in what it takes to run DoCare. I knew that there would be bumps in the road. I've heard many stories from the officers about the history of DoCare and the image we have. I've heard that we are, quote, corrupt, second chancers, and retired in place, end quote. That image is absolutely false for most of our officers. However, it is absolutely true for some of you. I knew there would be bumps, but we are now at work at the fork in the road for the future of DoCare. There are officers that are carrying the load for DoCare. There are officers that are sitting on the fence waiting to see what will happen. And there are officers that are scared for the life that you're going to string them up, lie on them and string them up and fire them. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was in there. I read that. I took the liberty of putting that in there. But, and there are officers that are hoping to bring DOCARE down in flames for their own personal agenda. If you are one of those officers thinking that I am just another chief in a long line of temporary assignments and that I will go away quietly, you are mistaken. I had hoped to elevate DOCARE's image and level of service to a top-tier organization. I want to make sure people that come to work for us are motivated and worthy of the job. I have taken steps to ensure that I want to provide the people that work for DOCARE now the opportunity to have good equipment, training, so that and training so that they can be best at their jobs. I have taken steps to ensure that I want DOCARE to make DOCARE an agency that people want to come to work. I want DOCARE's image to be positive and get public support for what we do. I have taken steps to ensure that. Finally, I need to make sure that we are transparent and our officers, supervisors, and branch chiefs and staff, and me, the chief, do the right things at all times. Transparent? You couldn't tell them that you were leaving, or you couldn't tell them that you were leaving but not leaving, and you weren't resigning but you were resigning, but you were going to go live your life in a, because life is too short, and you were going to, and that you were lying and you withholding information that you really knew you were going to go and work, still be working here. And I suspect probably was going to go, and what's going to happen is he's going to be allowed to move to California, out of sight, out of mind, and dictate by phone and dictate through Radula, still being the agent's chief, but having say and control over matters, as the chairman or chairperson's office explained. And transparency and well-being of the agency, he say? How the hell are you going to be a foreign manager, managing from afar, from abroad, and yet you care about the integrity of the agency and you cutting the head off the chicken and telling them to go walk straight? I need to make sure that we are transparent. I had to read that again. In making these changes, I have been encountering stiff resistance from a variety of sources. Most are internal to DOCARE. Most are vocal minority of officers who feel that they do not need to adhere to policy and they do not do whatever they want without consequences. I believe that there are a silent group of officers who work hard and want to move DOCARE forward. Yeah, like go over to Conneaut Marine Base, abuse the relationship in the memorandum of agreement, have workplace violent complaints and have them file against you, but you're the friend of, and you're going to be the lateral appointed by Farrell as the chief of the lateral academy. So you fire or you threaten to fire or charge Guy Chang for giving this person rope or putting him on relief, taking his gun in a bad way because he's been accused or it is alleged that he was involved in another workplace violence after being prosecuted and found guilty of one earlier. Mr. Farrell's words are not compatible to his actions, folks, not compatible to his character. These are borrowed words, apparently. But you can bet, well, bet that he means what he say when it comes to beating up on people and threatening them and harassing them. And while he gets to play loose with the rules and get to fold and shape, if you quit the agency, then get the hell out of here and don't come back. You're not bringing an expertise that's so unique that we need to stretch our resources, our monies, and our fundings to accommodate you, the guru of academies. I thought that the academy was being based on a guy that you worked for at one time that was genius, and was we found out that he didn't have the qualifications. And so I guess as an adjustment, you decide you'll run the thing, and Suzanne would give you the blessings, and then you would in turn, Mr. Farrell, be able to work abroad, work afar from the situation and by telephone like the CEO of the DLNR of the DoCare. Now, that's a unique title. So what I'm asking you to do, Mr. Farrell's, after he said you need to make a choice, we either move forward together or stand on the sidelines while the organization burns down. Boy, such harsh terms. Burned down. But I got this golden firefighter's nozzle in my hand, and I can figure it out, and I can put every flame and everything out, but just I'll do it only through with the permission and the condolences of the chairperson who has proven to be unethical. So what I'm asking you to do, it's simple. Put in an honest day's work. Do the right thing. When one is looking, do the best job you can do, and don't worry about what your peers do. Protect our natural resources. It's not hard. Some of you think the world, the state, DoCare owe you a living. You justify or rationalize your actions in a variety of ways. You think it's okay to act in a certain way because others do. You point out other people's shortcomings to use past failures or use past failures of others to hide the fact that you are not doing your job. You need to develop your own moral compass. These are grown men, ladies and gentlemen, that he's talking to like this. Do you call out everybody? See, racism has a stench to it that allows you to just walk in amongst men, women, this is their home, this is their culture, this is them, and then to indict them recklessly. They're all dishonest because they're brown, because they're yellow, because they got black hair, different looking from you, not blonde hair, blue eyes. So therefore, it gives you the authority to just automatically assume that they're evil, they're liars, they're cheats, they're not team players, but you are. This isn't about wildlife and natural resources anymore. This is about life. And the question is, how did you get involved in this if you care? You care more for animals and deers and bears and rats and roaches and cockroaches and all, but when it comes to dealing with people, you lump them all as being dishonest? It reminds me of every poster I've seen of the black man being just projected as being dishonest and shuffling and lying and cheating. And you never knew our first name. Same thing, folks. The guy is off the hook. Suzanne Case is off the hook. David Iggy is off the hook for allowing this to fester. You think it's okay to act a certain way because others do. You point out other people's shortcomings or use past failures of others to hide the fact that you are not doing your job. You need to develop your own moral compass. I have to read that again. Where is his moral compass when he can't even be honest and tell you a simple statement? I'm stepping down because I'm going to be running the academy. You may not like it, but that's what I'm doing. Said and done. It's approved by the chairperson. No, didn't say that. It took Carol Cox, who don't work for the agency, to see beyond the smoke in the mirrors of that letter to flush out anything that resembles the truth. And I doubt if they've even told me the truth in total. So we're writing another letter asking for greater details. If you can't do that, make changes today. This job gives you an enormous amount of freedom. Some of you are using that freedom in appropriate ways. Like Patrick Chung Tim. He was using his freedom in an inappropriate way. So what did you do, Mr. Farrell? You wanted to recruit him because you believe if you can get people compromised, you know, then he's your, quote, boy, end quote. Because you're from the mainland. You're different. And I know you're going to go, well, my father and I was born over here in Hawaii. Or I lived in Hawaii and I got some of, no. It's not where you were born. It's how you behave where you live. Some of you are using the freedom of inappropriate ways. That freedom in inappropriate ways. This is your job and your career. If DoCare is getting in the way of how you want to live your life, when or where you want to work, or your second job, it's up to you to make changes. I will not interfere with your life choices unless it affects what you do for DoCare. And for some of you, your choices are affecting us. Now, I understand, as I told you a while back now, Mr. Farrell supervised what is alleged a civil rights violation of Mr. Wyatt Cam aboard the Wind Warrior or Windward Warrior, a boat during the Floatopia. Mr. Farrell was right there. And Mr. Farrell, I'm told now through more interviews as I've been talking along the side to Mr. Farrell and Mr. Helm, was there at the scene in control, and they were the supervisors and part of the, quote, seizure of the boats and what have you, and the people and arresting them and not arresting them and whatever. It was a cluster, you know, what they call that. But I'm told that it was so insulting that they tried to pass these cases, this case or this thing about drinking and all, over to other officers because one of them, I think it was Helm, or, that had special duty to make extra money. And Farrell left all of his troops there at the dock to go with the other officer who had been involved and who's allegedly accused of civil rights violations and being physical and excessively physical with Mr. Cam. So Mr. Farrell's actions don't seem to match his well spoken and his concern for the environment and people and the aloha, as he give him the chance to tell it. I hope that you came to work for DoCare for the right reasons. Please remember the reasons you came here and try to get that passion for the job back. If the job makes you unhappy, stressed out, and disgruntled, please reevaluate why that is happening and make changes. I've had conversations with many of you, not all of you. Now he says many of you, but he's by talking to some of you, he was able to determine that all of you were brown and shouldn't be sticking around unless you were loyal to his ways and that you spoke and you gave him that impression that, yes, sir, boss, I'm just going to be here for a while, and I's going to lie for you, and I's going to cheat. But, boss, I do many things illegal. But, oh, that's okay, son. I'll take care of that. You're the right kind of person. You is exactly what the team needs, a compromised, lying piece of, oh, no, won't say that. But, you see, that's when you know a bigot is at work. When he preaches and he sets the standards and he tells you how the world should work and how perfect it is, and by his standards and his judgment and his assessment, and he's taken the time, though it's flawed, in assessing some of you but not all of you, and then he loop you all together and then comes in and write a generic letter when he should have said, this is going to be a long process. I want to build from the ground up, and I will talk to each individual officer before I go any further, and we will talk, and I will get to know their name. I will get to shake their hands. I won't be throwing barbs and spears at them in just in generic terms. I will know more about them because I will be personal. I will invite them for coffee, sit down and talk to them. Didn't do that. Bigots don't do that with brown people. Narcissists, they don't do that. They behave like this. They sit at the computer and become empowered and get a boss that supports them and will, I got your back, John. Robert, don't worry about it. Yeah, I've heard a lot about Don't Care. They're all rotten and thieves and liars and cheaters. I've heard about it. You know these local boys. Okay, Suzanne, I got you. Meantime, Dan Dennison works for the agency. I've talked about him, and I've shared with you what his thoughts were about black people and Obama and all of that, and equating Obama to a monkey and what have you. So, you know, if you think my comments are misplaced, come and spend some time with me. We can talk. 782-6627 is the number if you'd like to call. I've had conversations with many of you, and I love this statement. I hope that these conversations help you understand my perspective. I have no personal agenda. Really? That's funny. You have an academy that you want to build for Suzanne Case. You brought in anti-terrorist trainings or whatever the hell you call it. And they're all of the sources were monies that come from nonprofits that you funnel to your friends in California. What about Texas? What about other agencies that had the same thing? What about the HPD, one of the finest police departments in the nation? Why couldn't you consult them? Because you're arrogant and you say they don't like you, but then once they interact with you and you forget that what you carry around to and your projection of what you think about the Don't Care officers who are local men and women come from the same culture, background as the HPD people. And you, many of them, share the same understanding and goals and values that you won't begin to realize or appreciate. So you dismiss them all. So you have to go back to California and bring your friends in. Because you guys have gotten this practice of being bigots and dealing with people and being in authority and talking down to people of color. That's what this is about. Because there's no way you could write, be so elaborate and be so articulate in your letter and lay out all those accomplishments and fail to utter the basic truth about what your disposition was. Because you don't respect them. They're not deserving. They're nothing. They're nobody. They're not deserving of an explanation. Not by their standards, but by your standards. By your decision. I'd like to see half of the people coming from California that you're going to hire tell someone on hand that huma huma nuku nuku apua. The pig, the fish that grunts like a, what, a pig? What kind of dope are you smoking, man? No, they wouldn't bother with knowing that that's the cultural and that's the language and the interpretation. They're not going to bother. You eat that? I worked for Cal Fish and Game. And I must tell you, some of the most racist acts that I've seen came at the hands of game wardens. And many of them were acts toward people of the boat people, the migration, the immigration of the Vietnamese, the Hmong, and the the other people that came in from the boat, the migration from the Vietnam War era. And many of them were, they wouldn't bother to pronounce their names. You know, wouldn't bother. It's just filthy, nasty. And yet, yes, they may have been violating the law, or they weren't violating the law, but because they were of looked as who they were and what they were, many of the officers would just disregard their civil rights and just plow into them. And don't mention the jokes and all of that about them. So to flock back to California, to bring back here to train, there is some people, I understand, one gentleman was named Coast Guard Petty Officer of the Year, or NCO of the Year. Many of them have military background and have served in the Army and all. But when it comes, they meet Robert Farrell and Suzanne Case, they become nothing. Isn't that funny? And then Suzanne writes and says she supports whatever he does, basically, however he behaves. Bigotry, hatred, racist, whatever it is, she supports him. I know that his letter goes on. I know that not everyone agrees with 100% of with me 100% of the time. I do not expect that, but you will follow directions. Doak here is not going to be a free fall with no direction, with no accountability. With you will be held accountable for your actions. As always, my door is open. RF. Wonder what the F stands for now. Folks, I wouldn't take what I'm saying and how I'm saying it to be offensive. Unless you're just narrow-minded and short-sighted and refuse and have become part of the indoctrinated by the Suzanne Kay's Robert Farrell bigotry train. Then I would understand, and no hard feelings. But let me just submit. If you don't see the living as a reason to respect them and approach them differently, how can you care for their ancestors, their Kupuna Ivi, or the Ivi Kupuna, their water rights, their land rights, their gathering rights, their beliefs in the use of certain mountains and for picking flowers or medicines and all of that? So if you think they're all liars and cheats and thieves, and you got to bring in the white team from California because you can deal with them, and when they talk about Ivi Kupuna here, oh, it's just people talking about crazy stuff. But I have a little common sense for you, Mr. Farrell and Miss Suzanne Case. As long as you behave this way, and you might think that this is an NBC and that the word won't get out, but when you allow a man in a job that heads a state agency and you allow him to monkey around and tiptoe in the hallway at nighttime and molest what it belongs to the people and manipulate it so that they can be accommodated, and putting an academy, you can build an academy. I will build you an academy. I'll do it for free. You just know that peace officers stand a training post. You build something to accommodate that. You go to UH like you have, or the school systems, and designate days for your exercises. You speak with the police department, with the chief, with the mayor. You bring some closure to the relationship, and you say, we will compensate you, pay you. You have an academy anyway. What if we tag on and allow three of our officers in each academy to come through? But no, can't get along with the PD because they're just like the guys that you're insulting every day, that you're looking down your nose, that you're telling them you suspect them of being evil and liars and cheats. And yet, you care about the environment. When you drive through a village of hungry people going to feed the monkeys, you better have an explanation as to why you're insensitive to the people that are starving or why you're disrespecting the people that are working with you to go feed the monkeys. That happened. I say that to you because this is the sign of the person that and the way people that care for the environment behave. I'm not saying don't care for the monkeys, but be sensitive. Be tactful in your approach with them. Don't lie, and you're so sneaky. You must not believe that what you're doing is valid, is consistent with law, or you would be open about it. I mean, this list that you gave is telling. I think the only thing you didn't mention is that you didn't mention that you bought a box of Kleenex for everybody that was crying because you were leaving. But so if you lay out all these things that you did and your accomplishments, I would think you'd be proud. You'd be animated, boasting, and reminding them that, hey, I got a new idea. I'm moving on, but I'm not moving too far because I'm going to be opening up this academy and I'm going to, but instead, here's what I suspect is happening. He's going to be allowed to go to California. And I understand there are other places he's like to travel to, but we'll hold off on that. And but see, by being able to go back to California and stay with his family there, he can then still come to Hawaii. He can pick up the phone. Thank God for Wi-Fi and hi-fi. And you can talk. And you can write letters or you can do whatever. And then you can get on the phone and tell Jason Redula, hey, I don't like that officer there. Fire him. Put him on ROPA. And hopefully Jason Redula over the years now have come to gotten some wits to understand that he's been the go-to man in all these fraudulent practices. Was he informed of this status? I can't imagine that he would be just told by this letter only because Carol Cox wrote it. So if you're listening, Jason Redula, you're protected by this state law. You don't have to join in and be singing with this criminal chorus. Because while they may not openly call you slow and dumb and illegal and crooked and a thief and a liar and a cheater, just remember, you came from the same batch of these good people that he's maligned. And willing to malign and deface their image because he thinks that white is might and white is right and white will never do anything, but we are leaders and you are dumb and you're illegal and you're thieves and we can't trust you and you don't have your love for the environment is missing and on and on and on. Now, I'm not sitting in a cesspool and decide to be motivated today. It's just that the reality is, folks, when you see Suzanne Case grooming Bruce Anderson and giving him a job and then he gets to go in 3 days a week and to make sure he get his high five. Frazier McGillivray got to work here, and then she wanted money, she being Suzanne Case, get money, state money to funnel it to Mauna Loa Bay Foundation or whatever it is, so that she could compensate Mr. and some of the workers there, on and on and on, and then turn around and tell all the people in Docare that they're a suspect, that they're a criminal, that they don't give a damn about the environment. So dismissive. And we simply can't afford to have people constantly getting in the way of taking over public business and become a hooey of such. And this thing about he got involved. And look, if you're a game warden and you come on and you're 6 months, you need 6 months of leave, then you shouldn't be a game warden. And then all the other travel. We're going to ask for Mr. Farrell's travel records like we've asked for Mr. Dan Dennison's, and that's still waiting to be aired. But there's a lot to be had here. And unfortunately, I know that many of you will probably go, well, that's some harsh things you've said. But I don't know any other explanation. I can't dismiss the fact that, or ignore the fact that, on one hand, you're telling me how great you are, and yet you're behaving like a thief in the night, and you're rewarding people that are being illegal in their workplace, and they're committing assaults and threatening people in the workplace, and you cover for them, and then you fire or threaten or force Guy Chang out and tell him that he wrongfully assigned Roper to Carlton Helm. You have a zero tolerance law in the state of Hawaii that no violence is tolerated. So what was Guy Chang to do? Oh, well, you know, you're a friend of the boss, and, you know, Suzanne and his dad are really good friends over there on Molokai, and she wants a Maumee project to go through, and he's working with them, and he's on the DHHL, his dad is, and we got to protect him. So, Guy, you're out. You're fired. Meantime, other officers are running around there that went and filed a complaint initially. Got no balls, the balls turned into jello. Well, I'm sorry, it was jello already. They've just been walking around pretending they had balls. Telling one another, oh, I worked at HPD, and then I know HPD has no tolerance for that. And if you get caught in violence, and you need to report it. If you see somebody doing something illegal, you need to report it. The boat incident involving Wyatt Cam. There are officers who witnessed the allegation, the things that were alleged, that violence was brought against or projected on Wyatt Cam by Carlton Hill. There are allegations that they witnessed this. There's reports that they witnessed it, but they won't say anything because they, as we played a tape that Mr. Farrell recorded, they recorded it, we didn't. Where they wanted to file a complaint, and Farrell made them walk it back. And this involved an incident at the gun range at Cocoa Head. Gun range. You don't behave crazy and stupid on the gun range. You no tolerance for that. And in the workplace, zero tolerance. But if you've already had a citation and found guilty of workplace violence, then why would you suppose Mr. Farrell would support and prop this person up and then name him it's reported that he will be named as the lateral academy leader. But instead, he fired or threatened to fire or charged Guy Chang for taking the action and putting him on Roper. And if Guy Chang hadn't have done that, the other officers could have and should have filed a lawsuit against Guy Chang or complaint or grievance, because Guy has the authority and the responsibility to protect them. But instead, the high and mighty Mr. Straight and Narrow, squeaky clean Farrell, gets to write the letter. What a luxury. You get to write letters and tell them how your prowess and how things were accomplished, and you did all of this. And behind you is a trail of sitting on the witness stand and saying, yeah, I'm familiar with the Black Files. What kind of man is that that would have the galls to remind you how illegal you are, how unethical you are, and then sit and testify that he's in the unethical and the illegal? What is it? Well, I can't give you any answers to it, but I can give you my observations, and I can base my comments on and they're watching and observing the behavior of Suzanne Case, and all this reeks of racism. It reeks of ethnicism, and it reeks of disrespect for the people of the state of Hawaii, whether you're white, blue, or green. We deserve better. The DLNR is not an agency where crooks come to play, or crooks come to have their way, or people from California come and insult the local people by stating, you're all ignorant, we got the better plan, and you understand, the ethnocentric. We do it right, and you do it wrong. We can't trust you because you're evil looking. You're liars and cheats. You don't come to work to enjoy anything and protect anything. You just come here to make things bad and speak ill of people. Really. Hawaii was in existence and sound like they had the thing called Aloha way before you got here, Mr. Farrell. And they weren't lying about it. Yeah, that's why many people, your ancestors and missionaries and everybody, came here and loved it, because this was the Sandwich Islands and it was peaceful and loving and caring, and people just completely different. They give you the lauhala off their back. You know, they didn't wear shirts in those days and when they first got here. So anyway, unless it was the crazy shirts was here, I think maybe. But no, in all honesty, folks, we're being defrauded by Suzanne Case, Robert Farrell, as the state employees. And I can only tell you, when you speak to all people in a disrespectful manner and you log them in one large book on the thieves, liars, and cheats, and then you come along and lie, steal, and cheat them, not going to get anything. So anyway, we're going to post up Farrell's letter. We'll post up Suzanne Case's, what do you call that, the press release or panic release or whatever it is. And we're going to ask more questions. And so anyway, thank you for joining. This is the Carol Cox Show on Talk808.com. Aloha.